You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Jesus' Life Explained in Three Words. Now here is Dr. Schultz.
A major news anchorman on a nationwide evening broadcast voiced a vigorous complaint about the problem. But this annoyance is also well known in the general population. The media, especially television, has become so powerful that, like an invisible dictator, the media moguls now virtually control, through the seemingly harmless act of editing, not only our entertainment, but also our politics and our economics. This concern was vividly portrayed on the front page of the New York Times. The Times newspaper used a large, easy-to-understand, and very convincing illustration to demonstrate the incredible political power of television. Now, here is what they did. First, they tediously gathered evidence from the film archives. And then, using this evidence, the authors of the New York Times article graphically revealed how top political candidates in the 1960s were given nearly three-quarters of a minute to express themselves to the American public. However, every major election year later, the media masters permitted less and less of what the candidates said and added more and more of their own biased commentary. For instance, in 1968, the political candidates averaged 43.1 seconds of sound exposure. Only 4 years later, in 1972, it was cut back nearly in half to 25.2 seconds. In 1976, it was cut back again to 18.2 seconds. And in 1980, the average politician was allowed only a 12.1 second soundbite. And in 1984, it was slashed even further to 9.9 seconds. And in 1988, when television editors featured top political candidates, these politicians were given only a mere 8.9 seconds to make their main point to the general public. In fact, some observers now predict that unless things change, eventually candidates will be allowed to say nothing. And the media will use all the available time saying what they think the candidates should be saying, or what they want the candidates to say. Democracy will then be choked, and media tyranny will certainly reign. Knowing the frightening power that media giants today have in our society, try to imagine what it might have been like if these modern managers of the mind would have been present during the days of Jesus the Messiah. What would they have said about Jesus, and what would they have reported about Jesus? Now, let's be honest. Some things that Jesus said must surely have turned off the minds of secularists. Let's also keep in mind that Jesus not only said things, he also did things. And he did some things that would draw huge media crowds even in our day. For example, one day Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 hungry people with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. At another occasion, Jesus was at a wedding. The wedding party ran out of wine, and Jesus then turned water into wine so that the wedding party could continue their celebration. On still another occasion, Jesus met a man who had a withered leg. This man had been handicapped for 38 years, or ever since his birth. And out of love and compassion, Jesus healed this lame man instantly. Now, any one of these miraculous events would surely create quite a lot of discussion on national television news, even in our skeptical generation. However, if you feel that the miracles of Jesus I just mentioned would not cause any great stir in network newsrooms in our day, then consider what might happen if some man today would come to Chicago or New York or Toronto or London and go to a cemetery. What then if this same man would bring back to life a dead man? Yes, a man who had been dead for several days and even buried. Surely even our most skeptical media of today would be there to record the event on the spot, cameras clicking and films rolling, trying to capture the excitement or the crisis, even if they did not believe in the miracle itself. Today's media would surely have reported such unusual events, but then one final crucial question yet remains. How much of what Jesus said? Yes, how much of what Jesus said would the media establishment report? Would they give him time, or would they try to treat him like a politician and grant Jesus only a short 5-second soundbite? I say this because for many in our generation, the Sermon on the Mount given by Jesus would probably today be quite boring. And for others, his lengthy high priestly prayer recorded in the Gospel of John probably would not make much sense either. However, if there would have been television cameramen present when Jesus was crucified on the cross, and if they would have recorded the Savior's very last words, even in a 3-second soundbite, Jesus explained his entire mission. Yes, in 3 seconds, Jesus summarized his entire earthly career. For as Jesus came to the end of his earthly mission, and when he had borne the sins of the whole world through his bitter sufferings on the cruel cross, then Jesus cried out a brief, power-packed, life-changing 3-second soundbite. From the cruel cross of Calvary, Jesus cried out and in a spirit of victory announced in 3 seconds to the whole world, "It is finished." Now when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he was not saying that his 3-hour public crucifixion had finally come to an end. And when Jesus cried out in victory, "It is finished," neither was he saying that his almost daily conflict with the religious Pharisees was now over. Oh no, my friend, when Jesus cried out from the crucifixion cross, he was announcing that God's basic plan of redeeming sinful mankind, God's gracious timetable of rescuing sinners, had now been completed in victory. And now all of the suffering that the long-awaited Messiah would have to undergo, all of this was now finished. Oh yes, Jesus did cry out from the cross, "It is finished." And he was announcing the completion of God's plan of rescue that he began with Adam and Eve, that stretched over many, many centuries. At the creation of the world, when man destroyed his relationship with God by sinful rebellion in the Garden of Eden, then God made a promise that he would send a Savior. God wanted all men to have hope. In God's plan of rescue and salvation, there would be a great struggle between light and darkness and good and evil. Oh, for sure, the devil would do damage, but Jesus would crush the head of the devil and publicly proclaim that the battle is finished. This plan of God was announced to many great leaders of the Old Testament, including Abraham and Moses and Job and David. Other prophets also spoke about God's plan of rescue, although they could not state a definite time when God's rescue in Christ would take place. For example, the Apostle Peter, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote, "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace of God that would come to you made careful search and inquiry. They sought to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. But it was revealed unto them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel unto you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, yes, things into which even the angels long to look." Of course, today, there is also much counterfeit Christianity and phony religion. False messiahs are constantly springing up like thistles and weeds in the garden of God's grace. For example, several months ago, Newsweek magazine devoted one full page to the discussion of a new 3-volume $40 book. The book is called A Return to Love. And according to Newsweek magazine, the book sounds and even reads very much like Christian literature. And sometimes it even sounds like a Christian evangelistic tract. It is Christianity with a decidedly secular spin. The article goes on to note, and I quote, "This popular best-selling book is a gassy modern-day gospel, supposedly dictated by a mysterious voice that has been entrancing New Agers and other truth-seekers since 1975. Now, isn't this amazing? 2,000 years ago, many were deceived by false prophets, and 500 years ago, scores were deceived by the devil's agents. Even today, yes, even today, people continue to flock to seminars and spend large amounts of money on books authored by many of today's false messiahs." One major magazine explained why so many people today are following the false prophets. These counterfeits are part of an elite and growing group of gurus. And it may be that the social turmoil of the past decades has left Americans more than ever in need of guidance. But the truth is, there is not much evidence that very many people today have been able to translate the wisdom of these sages into happier lives. The fundamental difference between the glut of modern-day misleading gurus and the true historic Christian faith is one person, and this person's name is Jesus. This person is the Christ, the long-promised Messiah. Jesus did not go around giving seminars on what one must do to earn God's forgiveness. Jesus did not go around putting a great guilt trip on the already overburdened backs of the guilty. Instead, Jesus unselfishly placed himself in the center of it all. He voluntarily went to the crucifixion cross, and he gave his life as a worthy and a complete sacrifice for your sins and mine. And then on the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead to publicly proclaim his power and victory over sin and death and the devil. And now all those who confess their sins and failures unto God, all who repent of their past sinful life, and all who place their complete faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved eternally. Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." In his letter to the Corinthian church, the Apostle Paul writes thus, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." And in his pastoral letter to the congregation in Galatia, St. Paul further states, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin, so that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father." And finally, in his letter to the struggling congregation at Ephesus, St. Paul offers hope and help when he reminds us that in Jesus, we have redemption through the Savior's blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of God's grace. And so, my friend, your anxieties in life can be over. Your worries over past mistakes and failures can now be forever forgotten. Your failures in your family, your mistakes in your marriage, in school, or at your job, these many failures need no longer haunt you. Indeed, all your past failures and worries can be forever finished when you place your complete faith and trust in the salvation power of Jesus, who announced to the world, "It is finished." Salvation for all mankind at that very moment was accomplished for you. When Jesus died on the cross, his death served as a worthy sacrifice to God the Father for all of your sins. And Isaiah the prophet explains that when God the Father saw, yes, when he beheld the suffering of his Son, God's wrath was satisfied. In Christ, the Heavenly Father's gracious plan of rescuing sinners was finished. There is no need for you ever to say, "I don't understand the Bible," or "I don't know who Jesus was," or "why he died on the cross." You see, the central message of the Bible is the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And the reason that Jesus died was to save you from the punishment of your sins and your failures. Jesus' suffering for your sins is finished. His salvation plan for you is completed. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, and you, yes, you shall surely be saved. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.